little over 3 weeks ago, about 3.5 weeks ago, I decided to do something really, really scary. And I decided, as I was just kind of looking in the mirror, I was like, you know what? It's time to assess where we're at in our physical health. Scary moment for me, okay? Because and I had noticed that over the last little bit that I would look down and I had been missing some of my old friends, like the majority of them, because I would look down and I could not see the majority of my feet. And I was like, you know, I'm not satisfied. I'm looking in the mirror, I'm talking to myself, Kyle, not satisfied with where we're at right now. And so there's a gap between where we need to be and where we're at right now. So we need to do something about that. So I needed to get some help. So I joined a program that was going to kind of guide my journey in this over the next 30 days. And so I said, you know what, let's do this. And one of the first things that they taught us, and this was amazing, is that they taught us that my metabolism was broken. And I'm like, what? How do you break your metabolism? Is that like, did I take a fall or did I sprain my metabolism? Is my, you know, what's going on? It's like, no. You've treated your metabolism badly through the years, and it's revolted against you, and it is shut down, and therefore you will come forth. So my goal was sitting here going, okay, I'm listening to all the things that they're teaching, and one of the first things they said was like, okay, if your goal is to get from A to C, then it can't happen without a lot of little B's in between. You know, it's almost like when you were teaching your kids how to do the alphabet, and they would do the song and they would skip a letter, and it was like, no, you got to go back. You can't get to the C without the little B's. And so they were talking about, you know, all the vitamins and the minerals and the nutrients that my body needed to basically fix my metabolism to where it would go back into a moving and working order. Like back in the day when I was in high school, it was like my metabolism and I, we had a really good relationship. I would eat whatever I would want, and then I would play sports, and then it would just kind of, it would go off of me. But then as I have traveled throughout the years in the decades to find myself where I am now, we had no relationship. But as I began to put back in these little B's in there and these nutrients and vitamins and treating it right, I finally found that there was a way maybe for me to move from A to C. Now, when I was sitting at position A, it didn't matter how much I longed or strived or wanted or had great intentions to get to C. None of that mattered, right? It didn't matter how much I studied about C. It didn't matter how many people I hung out with that already were at C of where I wanted to go. It didn't matter. It was like, you know, they're not going to, through osmosis, transfer their metabolism into me. No, it wasn't going to work like that. It was only if my goal is to get from A to C, it can't happen without the little B's. That's the only way. And I think so many of us live our lives exactly like that. It might not be a diet for you, and it might not be your physical health, but we find ourselves at point A, wanting and longing to be at point C, but then we don't really know how to get there. Maybe it's, I want to move from an entry-level job to management. Maybe it's, I want to move from being a freshman to graduating high school or graduating college. Maybe for some of you, you want to move from being single to married filing jointly. Oh, wait, hold on, sorry. PTSD from last week. But you just want to move from being single to being married. Or maybe you want to move from just like, I am trying to survive as a mom to be Marie Kondo, where it's like, oh, thank you, peace, thank you for giving me joy, clothes, you know, and organizing every single little thing. Maybe it's you want to move from somebody that you really like hanging out with, from just being an acquaintance to like a deeper friendship that goes beyond just eating together and hanging out, but like get to know one another on a deeper level. Maybe you want to move from novice to expert. You get the idea. We long to move from where we are to where we want and long to be. But too many times we want to skip past the journey that it takes to get there. We want to leave out the little B's that it takes to get to this spot. We just want it to happen by osmosis. We just want to happen by, let me click a button and let me move from point A to point C, because man, the B's are too confusing. The B's are too demanding. They're too time consuming. They're too expensive, and they're not accepted by all the other people. They're going to look at me weird when I start just implementing all these other steps into my life. And so we remain at A, stifled, stuck, maybe even paralyzed, not knowing and not willing to give what it costs to reach where we want to be. And when it comes to our faith journey, our relationship with God, our eternity, sometimes I think we find ourselves in that exact same spot. Sitting at point A, stifled, stuck, maybe even paralyzed, not knowing what it's going to take, or maybe even seeing what it's going to take and saying, you know what, it's too demanding, it's too time consuming, it's too expensive, it's going to cost me too much. How do we get from A to C? How do we move from this faith journey just being something that we do and becoming something that who we are? How do we move from where we ultimately are to where our soul longs for us to be? For every single one of us in this room, I think it starts in the same spot. And it starts in the garden, at creation, where God spoke the earth and the galaxies into existence. I mean, he created everything that we see, everything that we experience, everything that brings us to our knees in awe. He created it. In an instant from nothing, he created light and then sky and then land and sea and bird and plants and stars and moon and day and night and fish and birds and animals and man. He created all of these, and then he was like, whew, I'm going to take a day of rest. And he looked back on what he created and said, oh, this was good. And then he looked at man and he created woman. And then he planted a garden for the man and the woman to be in. And he said, you can eat from any tree in this garden that you want. It's almost like in my mind, I automatically go back to Willy Wonka and the chocolate factory when they first opened the door. And it's just that giant garden with the chocolate fountain river running through it. And he's like, you can eat anything, anything, anything. And he says, you can eat anything but one thing. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You don't even have to work for the food. It's going to produce itself. It's going to come up. You're not going to have to sweat and toil and plant. Thank goodness I would have been in trouble. I can't plant anything. I plant it and it dies. I plant it and it dies. But here Adam and Eve are in the garden saying, hey, all the fruit, all the plants, all of this is coming so that you can have food and provide it. Just don't eat of that one plan. The garden, I think, was this true picture of God's intentions for us, for his most treasured creation. He wanted to be able to, for heaven to be on earth, perfect. There was no pain, no guilt, no tears, no disease, no anxiety, no worry. It was perfect. And they walked with God and they talked with God. And they just developed this incredibly close relationship. But then after a while, the man and the woman were tempted by the serpent to go ahead. You know what? I know the serpent's telling him, I know that he said, don't eat from that tree or else you think you're going to die, but you're not going to die. It's just going to make you like him, knowing good and evil. You should just go ahead and do it. And they looked at it and they were like, that really looks good. And men, there's a lot of you that are like, hey, it was the woman's fault. No, you were right along with them. You know, we were right there making the same decision. Oh, look, that looks really good. I want to eat it. Okay. And in that moment, sin entered in the world. Sin basically is just missing the mark for what God had intended for you, missing the mark of the life that he called you to. And in that moment, it created separation between creator and creation, a separation that hadn't existed before. They didn't know what that was. But immediately, their eyes were open to good and evil, and they felt shame, and they began to kind of close themselves and try to beat back from God and hide from God. And God comes walking through the garden, and it's like, where are you? We hid. Why? Because we were ashamed. We were naked. Who told you you were naked? The serpent did. And immediately, even in that moment where sin had kind of come in and broken what was perfect, God said, I still care for you. It's not like he just said, you know, squish and you're done. You're out of here. No, it was like he clothed them. Yes, there were consequences that came with that, but he took care of them and put them in a spot where then they could begin to live life. But it was a far cry from what they had in the garden. You see, God created us, just like Adam and Eve, for a love relationship with him. One that we would walk together, that we would know each other's voice, that we would be together. But our way had been broken by sin. And God the Father was not satisfied with this, with the separation. He looked at where we were at and where he was at, and he said, nuh-uh, this isn't okay. And so the rest of history is the Creator showing us our need for and providing a way back to his original design, a way back to wholeness, a way back to purpose, a way back to forgiveness, his original intent. The Father's solution led to our next anchor. Basically, this would be the next fluke in the anchor. And some of you are like, oh, what is a fluke? A fluke is that end part of an anchor. And over this series, we're going to be investigating seven of these flukes, seven of these anchors that anchor our faith. And that is his son, Jesus Christ. Our denomination states it this way: Jesus Christ, the living word, became flesh through his miraculous conception by the Holy Spirit and his virgin birth. He who is true God became true man, united in one person forever. He died on the cross, a sacrifice for our sins according to the scriptures. And on the third day, he rose bodily from the dead, ascended into heaven, where at the right hand of the majesty on high, he now is our high priest and mediator. That's who Jesus is. That's the solution. That's our Creator saying, you know what? If you're going to span this gap, it's going to take some little B's or maybe just one J that gets in between it. And the separation then provides a way for us to be whole again, for our relationship to be fixed, to be healthy, to be functioning as it was intended to function. And so who is Jesus? Well, it said he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. The same breath that gave breath to Adam and that formed Adam and the woman is the same breath that breathed life into Jesus in Mary. Matthew 1:23 says, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and they will call him Emmanuel. And this is cool, which means God is with us. You see, his original intent for us is that we are going to be with him, that we move from A to C. In this time and in the next, that we have an experience and a relationship with God. Jesus is also fully God and fully man. This is very important. Philippians 2:5-7 says this: you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. Man, I am so glad that I wasn't the one that was asked to give up heaven. Because I would be afraid in my own selfishness as a man, as a human being, that I would make the wrong choice. I would make it for myself, but not Jesus. And the reason he could make that choice is because he was fully God and fully man. The fully God part was going to give him the tools and the ability to be able to live this life perfectly so that he could serve as the perfect once and for all sacrifice for your and my sin. Knowing that there was no other way around it. There was not another sacrifice. There was not enough willpower. There's not something that we could do that would make us be able to cross that chasm, that gap. But here's the incredible part is that God said, I not only want you to have the ability to be able to do this, but I want you to feel what it feels like to have to do this. And so he was fully man, meaning that he experienced all of the same temptations that we experience. He experienced the same kind of pressures. I mean, can you imagine carrying the weight of what was going on and maybe even knowing where he was headed? But yet he was going to have to walk this road. He was going to experience the same pains. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I do carpentry work, I normally hit my thumb or I pinch something and it makes me very angry and makes me want to say things that I shouldn't say, right? I'm sure that Jesus at some point, when he's putting together a chair, when he's putting together something, he probably hit his thumb. And it wasn't like he was a superhero and didn't feel. He felt the same pain. He felt the same rejection that you and I feel. He felt the same pressures to conform. He felt the same emotions. He wept. And so God was fully man and fully God. And in this, God was providing a way to, so much so that when he got to the cross and Jesus lets out the words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Fleming Rutledge wrote this about it. It says, both Mark and Matthew shape their passion narratives to highlight this one saying. They want us to know that there is no hell that Jesus has not entered, no demon that he has not confronted, no abandonment or despair that he has not felt. He experienced the great nihilistic swallowing up of all goodness. He's been there. He's experienced it. And all for the only reason so that you and I could relate to him. That we wouldn't just say, you know what? Yeah, Jesus, you could do that because you're all God and you came down here and nothing affects you. No, he wanted to have the same emotions, the same feelings, some of the same thoughts so that we could relate to him. The difference between us and Jesus is the drift. You see, Jesus, because of his fully divine nature, he drifts toward the Father. So when he's faced with those emotions, when he's faced with those different times where he wants to go the other way, his natural drift is towards the Father. But for us, in our depravity, our natural drift is away. Our natural drift is towards self. What is this going to cost me? How is this going to benefit me? And so we drift away from him, but Jesus' natural drift comes towards him. And so in this way, he lives a perfect life. The only possible way that could bridge the gap. He was crucified, died, and was buried as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. And then he was raised back to life and is our mediator and high priest. I love when it says he's our mediator because, man, I need it. I am so happy that when God looks at my life, he doesn't see me and my failures and my past. What he sees is his son, Jesus Christ, covering me. My life becomes hidden in Christ because of what he did on the cross. 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6 says this, for there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. You see, if our goal is to move from A to C where God is, if our goal is to bridge that gap, it's going to take a relationship with Jesus because you and I, we can't do it on our own. Think about this. Think about if the side that we were standing on, this side A right over here, was one side of the Grand Canyon, and God was on the other side of the Grand Canyon. And we said, you know what? I want to get over there. I'm going to jump. I'm going to make it. And so our whole life becomes about training. And we train and we get specific trainers that teach us technique. We get our strength up. We know how to run fast, jump high, and we can go long. And man, we jump 30 feet, which 30 feet would be the furthest that any human has ever jumped. The world record is 29.4¼. So even say you even smash that record. Say, you know what? I have trained so much and I am in such good shape and I can jump that. I'm going to jump 40 feet. I'm going to smash the record of any human being possible by 10 feet. If you're standing on the edge of the one side of the Grand Canyon over to the other, even though that's an incredible human feat and you have done every single thing that you can to reach it, it falls way short. It still leads to death. And so God is saying, you know what? This relationship with my son, Jesus Christ, is going to span the gap. And it's not going to be about what you do. It's going to be about what he did. And so he invites us into this. And it says in John 14:6, it says this, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. So how do we respond to this anchor? What do we do in the light of who Jesus Christ is? How does that affect us? Well, the first thing is this, is you've got to decide, we have to decide, what are we gonna do with the invitation? What are we gonna do with this free invitation of that God, as he has been all along, even before we were even thought about, even before we took our first breath, we have the God of the universe that is pursuing us, that is inviting us over, inviting us over. Will you take a step towards me? Will you find my son, Jesus Christ, so that you can spend eternity with me in heaven, so that you can see my kingdom being lived out even now on this earth? But what do we do with that invitation? How do we respond to it? Because God is inviting us back into relationship with himself through his son, Jesus Christ. And so maybe for some of you, it's maybe for the very first time just going, you know what? I've heard about Jesus, but I've never really kind of taken that step. I've never really responded to this invitation. All you have to do is ask him to come in and just ask him to just say, you know what, God, I know, I feel that you've been pursuing me. I see that you are Lord. You are part of the triune God. And I need you to come in and I need you to forgive me of my sins. I believe what you did on the cross. And in that moment, you begin to step in back into relationship with the creator of the universe. So we gotta decide what we're gonna do with the invitation. Then we've got to live in response to that sacrifice. Live in response to the sacrifice. What captured Jesus' heart and compassion should capture ours as well. What grew in him to love the ones that were outcast, to love his Father more than anything else, that should be growing in us. And the only way it can is through the relationship with Jesus Christ. Because the next anchor is going to talk about what he gives us to be able to do that, to do what he asks us to do. And when this happens, his character, Jesus's character, begins to grow up and begins to grow out in us. When this happens, love should be growing in us. Joy should be growing. Patience should be growing. Kindness should be growing. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are called the fruits of the Spirit. That same Spirit that Jesus was connected with can now reside in us. And as we get to know him more, and as we become more in tune to that, then our life becomes characterized in the way that Jesus's was characterized, by the fruit of the Spirit. So we decide what we're gonna do with the invitation. We live in response to that sacrifice. And then we adopt his way. Doing God's will is adopting to Jesus' way. Have you ever found yourself going, God, I just want to know what your will is for my life. I just want to know what that is, God. And he's saying, would you look at my son? Because that's what it looks like. Love me more than anything else that you love. And then make me known to those that are around you. You do those things, you're smack dab in the middle of God's will. God's will was Jesus. It was his will with skin on, walking around, talking, interacting. It was God with us. And so maybe we need to dig into the life of Jesus and look at the way that he interacted with people. Look at the way that he handled himself in his thoughts, in his words, in his deeds. And say, man, I want my life to look like that. Now know this, is we can't do that apart from a relationship with him. And we're not gonna get it right this side of heaven. Don't think that you're gonna like, okay, that's great, Kyle, you just gotta just adopt his way. That's real easy. It's not. But then it is from the standpoint of like, we just have to take a step each day toward him. Opening yourself up and the Spirit works within you. And even when we fail, God says, I still love you. Get up. Let's take a step together. This week, I was scrolling through social media when I came across a clip from Louis Giglio doing a talk about 12 years ago. And the talk kind of got to this one point of talking about laminin. And all of you are going, oh, yeah, laminin. That, I know exactly what you're talking about. I had no idea. But I was blown away. And this is like my ninth grade son is like, he's in biology right now, and he's very, very excited about me talking about this. But laminin is a cell adhesion protein molecule. And you're like, oh, great. That's awesome. You see, cells organize into certain molecular structures, and that determines what proteins they are. And we have about anywhere from 10 to 60,000 proteins that are running around the human body. But this laminin protein is a cell adhesion molecule made up of three different chains. So three different chains come together, and the chains are organized into a certain structure that tells the cell what its job is in the body. And so these adhesion molecules, like they hold our skin in place. They hold organs together. Their tissues are being held together by this laminin. But even more incredible is that not just what it does, but what it looks like. And I want you to look at what a laminin cell, this is the rebar of the human body. This is the thing that holds it all together. It's the glue of the human body, and it looks like this. Check this out. And I'm not saying this is proof or anything. I'm just saying, man, this is incredible. When I saw it, I'm like looking at it going, are you serious? There's three different chains in this protein, and this protein is a cell adhesion one, and it holds the things together in my body. And even better yet, take a look at what an electron microscope view of it. This is all throughout our body. And for me, it began to think, man, this is what Jesus is like. He holds our life together. I want you to just look at this. As I read from Colossians 1, it says this. Think about this. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things that we can see and the things that we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and this is the key, is he holds all creation together. The cross of Jesus Christ, holds all things together. It moves on in verse 18 in the message, and it says, he was supreme in the beginning and leading the resurrection parade. He is supreme in the end. From beginning to end, he's there, towering far above everything and everyone. So spacious is he, so expansive, that everything of God finds its proper place in him without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people, things, animals, and atoms get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death. His blood that poured down from the cross, but now by giving himself completely at the cross, actually dying for you, for me, Christ brought you over from there to there, brought you over to God's side, and put your lives together, whole and holy in his presence. That's an anchor worth being tethered to. In this life, when there are so many things that we give ourselves to that let us down, that guide us in the wrong path, the anchor will hold because he is the one that holds all things together. Let's pray. Father, we are blown away by your goodness. The fact that you would love us so much, that you were passionate about providing a way back for us by showing us our need for you and then providing your son to personally carry our sins and the sins of the world into his own body and die on a cross. And so, Father, for some of us in this room, maybe it's we need to take for the very first time that step of just saying, yes, God, I see you. I recognize you as Lord over the earth, but I want you to be Lord over my life. I'm tired of looking to the other side and wishing I was there. I'm tired of wondering what's going to happen in this next life. I want to know you. And so, Father, I pray that you give them the courage just to, in the place that they are, just to be able to make that step, just to cry out to you, to say that you, that they believe, Father, in who your Son is, what he did on the cross, and the forgiveness that he offers. And may they step into relationship with you. And for others of us, God, may we begin to truly find our purpose and find our wholeness in you. That maybe we've put our trust in so many other things. Maybe it's our wealth. Maybe it's our health. Maybe it's just the next fad. God, may we begin to even take one small step towards you today. And just to be able to say, God, I trust you with my life. That I'm going to begin to try to see if I can grow your Spirit in me. I want to see your Spirit grow out and flow out of my thoughts and out of my words and out of my deeds so that others could come to know who you are. So God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that you saved us. It's in your Son's name that you pray. Amen.